We started last week on Is Jesus the Son of God? Get your Bibles out because we're going to be going to a lot of scriptures today. I might not be able to finish this, but if I don't, I'll continue it on after Resurrection Sunday. But we found out we were using Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 2, and Hebrews 11, 6. And don't turn there right now and because I'm going to do some other things. I'm going to do a recap. Well, you can turn there and get ready. I'm sorry. So we found out that there's three steps that we need to take note of in our walk with Jesus. And man, I'm telling you, I don't know. Wow. So we need to take inventory of our lives on a constant basis. And we need to go back to the basic and refresh once again every day what God is doing in our life, what He's done in our life, in our faith walk and in our faith talk. Because in every area of our life, it's going to take faith to accomplish. How many of you know what's going on? So it takes faith. And in the day that we're living in now, we're going to need more faith than we've ever known before. You understand? All the things that we've learned all through the years, and we've had the faith movement, we had the charismatic movement, we've had how to operate in faith, how not to operate. Now, all of that, because of all of that's inside of us, now God is recalling again, and He's bringing those things that we've taken in, and He's refreshing us and bringing back to our minds things that we need to be thinking about and confessing, not only reading, but confessing in the open air, in our home, in our church, in our nation. We need to continue to do this constantly. So in our faith walk and in our faith talk and in every arena of our lives, that is extremely important. And in order to allow and to do the task of the many things that God is doing, that it's going to take faith to get this accomplished. Amen? So when we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, He can easily lead and guide us. And it will not be hard to follow His leadings if we're in tune. Because He is our God. He sends us the Holy Spirit. That's our governor and our steward, our counselor, our friend. Whatever we need, the Holy Spirit is there to direct our path. Amen to that. And He will show you where you are lacking in areas in your walk with God and in your talk with God. We can say a lot of big things, but it's your actions speak louder than words in a lot of areas. So there were three words that I had brought out. For you to be aware of in your faith walk. Number one was preparation. Preparation means to be involved in all kinds of training, all kinds of discipline, which means to make ready, to put together. You say, well, I've got it together. Well, I'm glad you do, honey, because I'm still getting it together. Amen? And allowing the Holy Spirit to rework a work inside of me. To prepare and be alert for what God is about ready to do. So you must stay alert. You must stay focused. Don't worry about what's going on out here. I can't worry about what's going on at the hospital. I can't worry about what all the relatives are saying because I know my God's a good God. And so I have to stay focused on what He has said and what He's told me to do. And then that brings us to our second word, attacks, because attacks will come to sidetrack you, to keep purpose from being fulfilled in your life, or the attacks will slow you down and try to get you sidetracked. So these tactics and these strategies will come from the principalities of the air. It's not your next door neighbor, but we have principalities and powers of the air. Amen to that. Say amen to that. And so they will come from every direction, and they can come from any direction, matter of fact, and all kinds of shapes and forms. And sometimes they will influence people around us. So we have to stay focused on God. What did you say? My God's a good God. He's a good all the time. He's and He doesn't want anything bad to happen to me. Amen. So these principalities and powers, they'll come on your family. They'll come on your friends to get them to get turned around. And a lot of times they're not even aware of it. I mean, I've got some relatives that not even aware, and they're Christians. They're not even aware that these things will influence them, that the enemy is doing this to them and going through them. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, be alert, because your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the enemy is looking for someone who will give him place, and it can be over the very smallest thing. It doesn't have to be some big thing. It's over the very smallest thing. And that does not amount to a hill of beans. So many times I've had to shut down all the voices of everyone around me so I could clearly hear what God is saying. And you have to do that sometimes, whether it's friends or relatives or foes or enemies or whatever. And it's not that, you know, it's not that I don't care what they have to say, but that I will hear what God has said and what he is saying to me and what he's going to say to instruct me in what to do. And I've even had to shut down those voices of the enemy down verbally, as I guess you can tell I've been doing through the night, and remind them of what God said. Because they do talk. These enemies talk, and they will talk if you listen to them. And so many times I have to get loud. You say, well, you don't have to scream at the devil. Well, there's certain times you do, because sometimes he don't want to hear what God has to say. See, he don't want to hear the word. And you can stand there and threaten all you want to, but you get out the word and you walk in your house and you say, but God said this and God said that and God said this, and you're going to listen, and you won't stick around very long. And you begin to quote the word of what God said, and he don't like that. You begin to stand in your home and you praise God no matter how big the opposition is. You stand in your home and you turn that music up if you have to, and if the walls are pulsating, let them pulsate. Because we are living in a day to where we're going to have to get violent toward the kingdom of Satan. It's not that he has power over us, but it's all these little, you know, just net. So you've got to shut it down. And if you're not alert and not sensitive to the Spirit of God voice, then you'll get confused and lose your direction and your focus. Say focus. Say, I need to stay focused. I've got to stay focused on what God said. So you have to get in there in the midst of the battle and maintain your stand. Amen to that. And hold your position in the victory God has given you. When all this stuff came concerning Jerry, and they didn't know what it was, and he was in horrible pain, all these things going on, the first thing that came to my mind, and I'm just as human as you are. The enemy come in and said, well, look what happened to your sister. She died early because all the relatives were in there. You're the only one that had faith. Look, your dad died, and you prayed. And they still died. He said, you stay focused because you're married to him and you're connected to him. And that has a lot to do with it. Huh? He said, you had stand in there in the midst of the battle. And he said, daughter, you and Jerry have been down these roads before. 40-something years of these roads. And the devil's not changed. Greater strength in getting in God, the greater the battle. The more victories, the greater the battle. The greater the battle, the more victories. I said, yes, sir. And that, he said, everything that has been, I've already won all of that at Calvary. Because Jesus has already won your case. He's already ready, Mike. He has freed us from all of Satan's hold. You get into Colossians chapter 2 and you'll find out just exactly what the Word of God has to say about that. Matter of fact, let's go there. Colossians chapter 2. I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going there anyway. Make the devil a little bit madder. Colossians chapter 2. When you get there, tell me. Say, I'm there. Who's there? Brother Frank, stand up here and read it out loud. No, come here. Stand up here and read it out loud. Oh, 13 through 15, and read it out loud. Stand over here so they can see you on the camera. Okay.
13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Whoa. He did what? He did what? What did he nail to the cross? Whoa.
Amen.
Go ahead.
When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him.
Thank you, Brother Frank. So if Jesus triumphed, and he's already stripped Satan of all of his powers, then what is our problem? Now, he's still an influence in this world, and we're still going to be buffeted, try to be buffeted by him. Huh? So then we have to understand that we have to, if he's already done all of this in Colossians chapter 2, and he disarmed him. Listen, are you getting this? And that's what God said. He said, Penny Baker, I've already disarmed. I've disarmed all of what Satan's trying to do in the churches, and they're not getting it. I disarmed. So what are you going to do about it? I said, I'm going to stand and hold my position. He said, wonderful. He said, now, I've already won the battle. You stand and hold your position over your church. And you expose anything that's trying to undermine. And you call it for what it isn't. Are you hearing me now? So that brings us then to the next words, life or death. And you have to discern what is spiritual life and what is spiritual death in it. And then do what Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 says, to put on the whole armor of God. Above all, stand and let God be God. Say, everybody, let God be God. Hebrews 1, let's go there, 1 through 2. Brother, bring it up. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, that in these last days, everybody say, in these last days. Now, back then, it was last days to them. How many of you know we're living, literally living in the last days? Spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So God spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Then he spoke through Jesus, his Son, through the New Testament. Did he not? And he is still speaking today. I told you that last week, and I'm just recapping here. He's still speaking today. He is a speaking God. He speaks through his written word. He speaks through songs. He speaks through words of knowledge. He speaks through the real prophets. I said the real prophets, who are hearing God clearly. So God is still speaking today in various ways. So Jesus, the very presentation of the representation of God, is God. Are you understanding? And so when you see Jesus, you see God. You can't separate them. You cannot separate the Holy Spirit from God. They're three in one. And so because his word is one, all three of them are one. It's three separate beings. So all three are one. They speak the same thing. So we need to pay close attention to what God is doing and not what the devil's doing or he thinks he's doing or he's threatening he's going to do. Or what the devil thinks he's going to do has nothing to do with your walk or your talk in Jesus. What the devil is doing has nothing to do with your salvation whatsoever. What the devil thinks he's doing has nothing to do with your healing. I'm still standing and believing God for mine. And it's coming. Because sometimes you can get sidetracked. You can get sidetracked by how you feel. You can get sidetracked from emotions. Amen? So the first thing that we need to do is decide, is Jesus the Son of God? And how has it affected my life? And found out that everyone does not know that Jesus is the Son of God. And we're even talking about people that don't know Jesus now. Thousands have it in their heads. We're talking about Christians now. But not in their hearts, because it's not affected their lives. So once it drops from your head into your heart, then you have to decide that Jesus is the Son of God. And it will begin to change you on the inside. And how many of you know that doesn't happen overnight? Turn to your neighbor, to your wife, and say, yeah, it doesn't. So quit looking at your mate with magnifying glasses, waiting to see if there's any change in them. Just go quickly to your own mirror, huh? And look very closely at yourself. You might be real surprised at what you see, huh? Oh, wait a minute. I have a scripture on that. Somebody turn to Matthew chapter 7. Somebody, chapter 7, verse 15. Quickly, somebody. When you get it, let me know. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Come up here, Manny, and read it real loud. Really, really, really loud. I want the audience to hear it out there because they're going on YouTube. Go ahead.
Judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
Whoa.
And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but did not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
How many of you know she didn't write that? Who wrote that? That kind of sums it up, huh? Okay, we better get back on the topic. Is Jesus the Son of God? I told you that I could stay, though all these things can stay in your head forever and it not affect your life or even affect lives around you. Because until it affects your life, it's of no value to you. You can have all of this in your head, but if it's not in here, it ain't going to be in here. It's not going to be in here. Come on. If it's not in here, it's not going to be in here. Uh-huh. Amen. Quit looking at each other. And if it's no value to you, then you're not worth your salt. Huh? Because we're supposed to be salt and light to the earth. Amen to that. Remember I said that there is a great difference between knowing the God of the Word and knowing the Word of God. And just quoting scriptures doesn't get the job done. So you have to believe the scriptures, and you have to believe all that the Word of God has to say. You cannot pick and choose anything. If God is against homosexuality, He's against homosexuality. If He's against lying, He's against lying. Go to Galatians. Go to some of these where it says, I will tell you who will not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot pick and choose to make yourself, you know, to justify what you're doing or what we're doing. So you've got to understand that when it drops into your heart, it will affect your life. Just period. Your life will show it, and then we begin to do inventory of our lives. The Holy Spirit will begin to bring things to you that you need to deal with. How many have got it all solved and you don't have to deal with anything anymore, huh? Well, Ananias and Sapphira did, and that, you know where that landed up. See, because you don't have the ability to change your own heart. Huh? But you can change your thoughts, and you can change your thought patterns and your attitudes. Amen to that. You most certainly can. About the Word of God concerning your life. So, I said that you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with God. You have to allow Him to confront you. Us, let me say me, because it makes everybody feel better. Confront me in all areas. And you have to be honest enough to say, Jesus, yes, you are Lord of my life. Yes, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And I believe everything your word has to say concerning me. See, you can't say, I believe everything your word of God has to say concerning that person sitting next to me. Because after all, I'm above that. And everything that's said, you know, that's for them. Have you ever seen people? Yeah, I've heard people say that. Boy, Sister Penny, I'm sure glad that you preached the message because it really belonged to that brother in this church. Mm. Then I have to take a closer look at my life. How has it affected my life? What has it done in my life? Has anything about me changed? Can people see a difference in my life? Has it changed my lifestyle? Has my attitude changed? Am I trustworthy? Am I a person of my word? What kind of testimony am I? Have I grown? I hope all of you have grown since you've been here, because I have. And God, when you look at me, don't worry about how everybody else look. God, when you look at me, what do you see? See, we found out that faith in itself has no power, zero power. So it takes faith in God. So Romans 10:17 says, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember, God is still speaking here. So if we have faith in God, and he lives in us, more this scripture, this what the Lord had said to me some time ago, and he really lives in us, then we've got a very powerful being inside of us. Amen to that. Living on the, because he is God, then I can trust him. If he is really God, then I can trust him. In my life, I can trust him with Jerry. I can trust him with the people, this body of believers here. I can trust him in those areas. Amen to that. So I can put my faith level in him because I know that without him, I can do nothing. Without him, you can't do anything. Without him, we can't do anything. Come on. Doesn't matter how much we build. It doesn't matter how much money we've got. Without him, it isn't going to work. You know, we've been thinking about the building, and we're working with the realtors and stuff like that. And I just stood the other day and I said, you know, God, because, you know, Jerry's saying, well, when, you know, what building and what, you know, because it's, you know, things are getting ready to happen, you know. And Jerry said, well, what do you think? I said, what do I think about what? He said, well, about the building. I said, I don't know. He said, well, don't you have a plan? I said, oh, yeah, I got a plan. But if he's not in the plan, I don't want it. Huh? There's a lot of big churches that's got thousands, thousands of people that built on man's plan and didn't build on God's plan. And the churches are half full. Some of the pastors have left the platform. Some of them are out in sin. Because unless God builds a house, it ain't going to stand. See? So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, we may be little. He said, that's okay. I only disciple 12. I said, is that all we're going to get? He said, no, what did I tell you? So he says that for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So you cannot even come unless you believe that God is there. You got to believe that he is the Son of God. Amen to that. And I know this is basic to a lot of you, but we need to go back and we need to refresh. We need to refresh. We need to refresh. God, what did you say about yourself concerning me, concerning this nation, concerning this church, concerning my family? God said, go back to the basic, go back to the beginning and start all over. Then you please him and know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Boy, that word diligent, we could just go wild with that today. So the last part of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is very important. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say with me, he rewards those who seek him. I'm not talking about picking up your Bible on Sunday morning when we're here. I'm not talking about that. Not talking about when you're standing here and you're praying in tongues on Sunday morning. Or you're going down the road and you're shunda barabaya. I'm talking about seeking him until where he is number one in your life. You say, well, I don't have that many hours of the day. Try it. Try getting up. Well, I can't spend an hours like you do, Pastor. Nobody asks you to spend hours like I do. I'm not talking about that. But what hours you can, or what 30 minutes you can do get a lot done because he knows you have to go to work. Come on, let's just get off of this thing. And that 30 minutes before you go to work and praying on the way to work, that 30 minutes will revive you. If you don't think it won't, just start praying the word on your way to work. And you watch how it revives you. Because everything you're going to be facing that day, there will be a block. The Holy Spirit will come and block it. Why? Because you've already got your armor on. You've already got that thing ready. You've already got that shield on. And the enemy can't, and you know, when you say, Father, I put the armor on today, I gird up my mind, Father. I know you gird up the loins, but God, I prepare my mind for action. Well, I better not make that statement. Let's go on. So the reason that the last verse is very important to us is because a whole lot of people out there, they think that God is going to get them. If they do this and if they do that. And there's a whole lot of people who think maybe that maybe God is not a good God. I don't know what kind of God you serve, but my God's a very good God. Because the reason they think that is because they've not settled that in their heart that He is a good God. How are you doing, Lisa, since the other day? You have to learn to stand and just kick the devil right in the teeth and throw your... Matter of fact, did you do what I told you to, kick him out your front door? Good. People think you're crazy if they're driving by, but that's okay. They can't see. So, you cannot have things in your home that attract the devil. Why am I saying this? You cannot have things in your home that entertain the devil. You can't have the wrong music, and you got to be careful what comes across the television. You better be careful what you have in your home that attracts the enemy, because there's a battle going on. And if you think you're gonna walk victorious, we did a house cleaning. I started throwing things out right and left. And it wasn't my husband. I started throwing out. So the reason people that think that God is not a good God is that He's out to get them is because they are filled with all kinds of fear. And they fear that God will put diseases on them. And many feel that God is mad at them and wants to punish them. And sometimes they think He does. Or he wants to punish them for something they've done. How many's gone through that? You're just waiting for God to bring the hammer down? Or He's just waiting there to bring the axe down, and that He's going to make them to have an accident to teach them a lesson? How many of you know that's not the kind of God we serve? That is not the kind. You know, I've heard people say, well, you better be careful how you pray. Well, God just break their leg. God's not an abuser. I've heard people say, well, God just had to break their legs and just had to cause an accident to get their attention. No, they got in an accident because something was going on somewhere, because you don't have the ability to look in anybody's heart. You don't know what's going on. God does not cause accidents. And God does not go around killing. Well, look at the Old Testament. How many of you know we're under grace? Thank God for grace. We're under a better covenant. You better be glad you're not living in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, none of us would be living with problems. Isn't that true? Better be glad we're under grace. We better be glad for Calvary. We better be glad that He shed His blood for us for all of our sins. We better be thankful to God we're not under that old law. No, He doesn't cause accidents. We get in trouble on our own when we walk away from God. Come on, is that true? Or go against His word in disobedience. And many times, the Lord said, many times my children bring judgment on themselves. Huh? And I've heard people say, you know, you can never tell what God's going to do. And they act like that He's a mean old God. And even find themselves confessing that. And allow negative thoughts to go in the back of their minds to control them. And they allow the enemy, who is supposed to be under their feet, sitting on their shoulders, and whispering all kinds of things and all kinds of lies against God. Come on. To them, and they're silly enough to believe it. Well, the devil said this. What do you want to listen to a liar for? And this is what was happening. You know, when all this stuff started bombarding last week and a couple of weeks ago, and all the bombarding, and I'm going, and I found myself, God, what did I do wrong? He said, you didn't do nothing wrong. He said, you've got an enemy that's after you because of who you are in me. Amen to that. So the enemy will come to try to blind and steal from you. And people are silly enough to believe all of this stuff and too blind to see it because they are caught up in themselves. Amen to that. And when they get into that mode, when you get into that mode, It will cut off God's hands from doing anything in your behalf. It'll cut him off every time. Because what's coming out of your mouth is not supposed to be, because you're saying things that go contrary to what God's already said. Do you know that's sin? Cutting off God's hands working in your behalf. Now listen, we're not talking about, we're talking about born-again Christians here. We don't have to worry about the non-Christians. They've got, the enemy already has them. We're talking about born-again Christians who are supposed to be in this word, come every Sunday morning and stand and sing praises to God and say all kinds of things. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. How many know what a Christian is? How many know what a Christian, what, give me a definition to Christian. Mm-hmm. Christ-like.
Well, now, Sister Penny, now you know. You know, Sister Penny, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven.
I know you're not perfect, and I know you are forgiven. But don't use that as an excuse to justify what you're doing that's wrong.
Well, you know, Sister Penny, the devil, you know, he's very strong and he just made me do it.
No, you let him do it. See, this is where I went back. You got to be honest. You got to be honest. Because the devil can't do anything if you don't want him to. Because remember, Colossians says he's already stripped him of all of his power. Luke 10, 19. Come on. He's already stripped him. And so he's already defeated him. Huh? And let me say this, and people don't like me to say this. Satan is not the god of this world. He's the god of this world system. Jesus bought it back over 2,000 years ago. You amen to that? So, Christians get into this mode, and it's all negative, 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 negative. Always, and they wonder why the blessings of God has not been upon them lately. Let me tell you something the Lord said. He said, I have blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed my children. I have moved mountains that they could not move. I have healed them when the doctors didn't have any answer. Come on now. I've opened their spiritual eyes that were blind. And I've protected them. I've given my angels charge over them. I blessed and blessed and blessed. And then what comes out of their mouth? He said, it angers me. Doesn't mean he hates you. It angers him. And I got to thinking about that. Some things that come out of people's mouth, I feel makes angels tremble. Come on. I've heard Christians say, well, I'm mad at God because he let me down. No, no. I went to God with that. He said, no, I didn't let them down. He said, when they started doubting my word, they let their own self down and they let me down because he didn't stand on what I said. Amen. He said, I'm not one that lies and breaks my word. So the problem is not God. The problem is them, because of bitterness and whatever else is lurking in the hearts and minds of Christians. How many of you know Matthew chapter 7 verse 11 said, I give good gifts. Did it tell you that? He said, I give good gifts. I give good gifts. James 1:17, he said, every gift, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above. And I'll give it to you if I feel like doing it. What are you shaking your head for? That's not what he said. Every good and perfect gift is comes from above. Somebody finish it. Finish it. Somebody finish it. See, we are better moms and dads than God is, we think. Huh? So you have to solve the bottom part of verse 6 of Hebrews 11. In your mind, if you're going to move on and mature in the things of God, you have to settle that thing first. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Our God is a good God. He is not a bad God. Our God is a good God. And he wants the best. I seek him. He's a rewarder of those that seek him. who diligently seek him, who say, man, I'm going after God no matter what. No matter what's going on around me. Doesn't matter if I don't have a job, I'm going after God. Doesn't matter how I feel, I'm going after God. Doesn't matter what my wife or my husband's doing, I'm going after God. Doesn't matter if the whole nation falls apart, I'm going after God. Doesn't matter what the doctors say, I'm going after God. But see, you have to determine that. And then you have to press in. Press in to God. Those who make up their minds that God is a good God. Well, will bad things ever come? I'll guarantee you, you're going to have oppositions. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how much of the word you've got inside of you. I don't care how much. It doesn't matter. Any time that you're moving out in God and you're walking where he tells you to walk, you're going to have oppositions. If that's the case, then every one of the disciples and every one of the apostles and every one of those, evidently they were missing God. They did something wrong. No, because anytime there's opposition, anytime, you know, what did I say? What was that? Somebody said something to me when I was talking to the lady who had the dream, the vision. She said, I'll tell you, she said, I have prayed. And she said, I know how to get a hold of God, Penny. And she said, but I mean, I cannot believe what's come against my family. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm fasting and praying and interceding. I said, oh, I'm witnessing to people. I said, oh, and this is happening, that's happening. And I said, Jennifer, evidently you're right on track. Or you wouldn't, the enemy wouldn't be wasting his time. I said, now you're an intercessor, you're a prayer warrior. She says, I know, but she said, it's just, can't believe that my sister would want to commit suicide. I said, when the pressure is on, and you're not, listen to me, church, if you don't get anything else that I've said, if you don't get in here, and you don't stay in here, and you don't say here, and you don't say what God says, you're going to fall apart in 1,000 pieces when the trouble comes. Because just because you're a Christian, that does not mean that you won't be under attack, because you will. And I said, you know what? I said, the attacks come. She said, and I told her, I said, you know what? She said, they ain't going to let up. I said, well, you know, they didn't own Jesus. Jesus came out of the wilderness after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Enemy trying to say, well, if God be this, if you be the Son of God, God already told him who he was, who Jesus was. And he'd come out of fasting and praying 40 days and 40 nights. You try to get in there and fast 40 days and 40 nights and see how you feel. I could do good if I make it 3 days. Because things I don't even like, I'm hungry for. That's true. I don't like banana splits, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind. I don't even like bananas. I don't even like ice cream. You know? When Jesus came out of the wilderness and the angels fed him, and the Lord reminded me, he said, and I had already defeated him. He said, did he leave me alone? I said, no. He said, what did my word say? It said he left him for a what? A what? And so you're not any better than Jesus. A season. So that means, well, did that true? When you go all through the 30-something years that he was here, who was his worst problem? The Sadducees and the Pharisees, and you're going on. There was constantly buffeting. So you have to make up your mind, and I'm going to close here because I'm not going to be able to finish this. That's because there's some good nuggets in there, and I want to walk. Is this boring to you, or are you understanding what I'm saying? So you have to make up your mind that God is a good God. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I don't care what it looks like. I believe what the Bible says, that my God is a good God. Amen? Because the Bible and God are the same. When you're in here, you're reading him. When you're quoting this, you're quoting him, what he said. Amen to that. So the Bible is the Word of God. And I told you before, you can't separate God from His Word. He is the Word, and it is His Word. You cannot do that. And you can trust Him with His Word. So what I have to do, you know, what I have to do constantly, the Bible says, matter of fact, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall. What's never mean? So I guess it's pretty concrete, isn't it? I guess you can take it to the bank, can't you? I guess you can stand on it. So if the Lord says we are healed, wait now. If we are healed, are we? If He says, I want you prosperous. Now, John wrote that, and I'll go into that next week. Okay. How many of you know God wants the best for us? He's not an abuser. He's not out to try to get you. And so you're going to have to stand on faith. Faith in Him, not faith in faith. Your faith is no value. Your faith in faith is no, there's no value to it. Remember? So I have to purpose in my mind, my God's a good God. My God is a God of faith. And because I read His Word and I stand on His Word and I believe His Word, doesn't mean that sometimes I get a little bit shaky. You're still human. You don't have your glorified body, so quit looking for it. So it doesn't matter what comes our way, huh, Lisa? We stand, we take our ground, and we stand. Because the Bible says when you've done all you know to do and you can't do anything else, then stand. Set your position and say, I ain't budging. Because Satan is a defeated foe. All he can do is roar. That's all he can do is roar. Do you hear roaring? Absolutely. Do we hear roaring in our nation? Do we hear roaring in the... Do we see what's happening? If the church is where it should be, if the church was where it should be, not talking about any one particular church, if the church was where it should be, there wouldn't be all of these things going on, pastors resigning and taking off. If the church was where it should be. Because when the enemy comes in, see, if they're not where they should be in prayer, because there's churches that are flat moving out in God, don't you think they're not? But they have an intercession. They're praying. I intercede every day at home. And that's what we do here on Friday night. Why are we here on Friday night? Because we're coming together as a unit. We're declaring and proclaiming. You know, well, I can pray at home. Good, you'd stay home and pray. If that's what you want to do. What I'm saying, when we come together and pray, it's a corporate unit. Uh-huh. What if everybody in John Hagee's church, because they have a very prayer meeting, what if everybody in Dutch Sheets these other big churches where they're in, what if everybody stayed home to pray? But it's when you come together as a corporate, you're powerful. You come together as a corporate unit. Amen? And we pray for one another and we hold up and we can pray for different needs. Why? We're in agreement. It's like we did this morning. We're in agreement. Amen to that. So we have to determine that is Jesus the Son of God? Isn't that right? And that's where the really question is. That's what he asked me. Am I the Son of God in your life? Amen. Amen.